Isn't it a beautiful day? You know, last week, there were some days that they weren't that nice. They were kind of dull and cold, and the wind was really cold. Do you remember? And I just had this thought at one point, because I looked down, it was drab, and yeah, kind of wasn't the day I was hoping for. And I just felt like God said, you know, it's always a beautiful day in the kingdom. It's always a good day in the kingdom. That's quite a thought, isn't it? In the kingdom, it's always beautiful. The sun is always shining. There's always light and joy. It's always a good day in the kingdom. So I just leave that with you. It's a beautiful day, whatever the day out there looks like. This is what I'm thinking of for today, what we're going to do. I'm just going to share a few simple stories and a few simple thoughts with you, very simple. And my hope is that that is going to lead on to you guys sharing some simple stories and some simple thoughts. That is the plan. So we'll see how it goes. And I think you know me well enough by now to know that my favorite place to rove around and be is out in the marketplace. And I love to be there encountering people that God wants to encounter, his treasures. That is my favorite thing of all. And I'm just going to share a few stories around that today and draw out a couple of points from why I am sharing those things. Most of the time, the people that God has me encounter in the streets or the shopping centers, wherever, they are most often people without any faith of their own. Sometimes from a completely different faith background, completely, or philosophical approach, very different. But sometimes he will strategically place me next to very often a youngish boy or girl who has come from a believing background, but who isn't themselves now walking that out. And I've lost count of the number of times that that has happened. It happens a lot. And I've discovered that you can actually tell, even without them saying anything, you can just see it. There is something about them, the way they look. You feel it, you sense it, you just know they have come from a believing background. Someone has poured in the things of God into their life. You can just sense it. Holy Spirit discernment, I suppose. So, why does he do that? What am I there to do or to say with that young person? What I believe I'm not there to do or say is I am not there to guilt them into coming back to church. I am not there to guilt them into, hey, you need to come back and read your Bible again, or hey, you need to start praying, or hey, you need to start hanging out with Christians. All those things are good and true, but that is not the way God wants to interact with them in that moment. What he asks of me is to see the gold, find the gold, speak out the gold within that person. Tell them who they are as he sees them and remind them that they have an amazing destiny in him, a future better than they could ever paint for themselves. So that's my opportunity to look for the gold. Ask Holy Spirit, what do you see? What do you have? Who is this person? And what is the future that you want to call out for them to walk into? I was talking to God about this, and he said, you know, most people think that all I want to do is give them a piece of my mind. You know that expression, right? I wait till I give you a piece of my mind. And he said, actually, what I want to do is to give people a mind of my peace. Got it? I am not out to give people a piece of my mind. I want them to have a mind of my peace, where they're at peace with me because they know I love them, I accept them, I forgive them. That really impacted me, just that little phrase. It's not a piece of my mind I want to give them, it's a mind of my peace. And so there was David, a young man, tall, quite imposing in a good way, a tall young man. And as soon as I saw him, I knew, this guy comes from a believing family. And you could just see on him this leadership thing. He is a born leader. And I was just asked, Holy Spirit, tell me a bit more. Tell me a bit more about, I didn't know his name was David at the time, but it was David. Tell me a bit more about him. And I just felt this little nudging whisper. He's going to go to many countries and nations around the world. He's going to go there. And we got into conversation, and sure enough, there it is. He comes from a church background. He's not walking in that. He's not really interested in that right now. But, you know, I spoke that thing out to him, that he was a leader and that he is going to go to many countries and nations in the world. And he said, that is so strange that you said that, because some years ago, a prophet had come to the church where he then attended and had said to him, you young man, you are going to go to many countries and nations in the world. So it was just God coming in and reminding him, I spoke that over you. I still see that in you. That's still my plan for you. I'm here. I see you. I know you. I care. And I want you to know that. So that was David. Then there was Michael, or a variation of Michael. I'm not quite sure how I'd say his name. There was Michael, and a young, lovely, tender-looking young man, quite reserved from the outside anyway. But I, as soon as I saw him, I thought, in fact, I said to him straight out, I said, you have a believing mother, don't you? And he said, yes. And I just felt a whisper for him about how he had a speaking and a teaching gift, and his voice was influential and it needed to be heard. He needed to speak and teach the things of God. And he said, oh, my mum has always said that I'm going to be a pastor one day. And I said, she's absolutely right. So don't you think that God is trying to remind you that this is what he has for you, something really influential and important in your life. So that was Michael. Then there was Becky, a beautiful young lady with vibrant orange hair and purple lipstick. And obviously a creative, I think you would say. She was actually really beautiful. It suited her because she's a very artistic, creative person. And I just had a sense for Becky that there was an opportunity that lay ahead for her that was already there in the offing, but she was too frightened to take it up because she didn't believe that she would be competent enough to manage it. So when I told her this, her mouth falls open. Yes, that's exactly what happened. There was an opportunity for her to take a study, a type of study. She didn't think she'd manage, da, da, da. What was so interesting wasn't just that the word fit her circumstances, but what she said was, I can't wait to tell my mum. My mum goes to a church, and my mum will be so excited that you've come and spoken to me. So there's a pattern here. You know, these mums, sometimes it's grandparents, sometimes it's parents together. Often it is mums, though, and I want to get bring that out today as it is Mothering Sunday, the power of mothers to sow into lives. And, you know, what it's made me appreciate is that, oh my goodness, these mothers have faithfully poured in and prayed for these children and are praying still because they're now seeing their children wandering away from Jesus. So here are these mums faithfully praying for their children. And I get to be the answer to their prayer in some part. I get to be the one to come along and encounter their children and again remind them of the goodness of God. And to me, that has been a real encouragement for me as a mum, because yes, I'm a biological mum. I have biological children. And it just encourages me that, wow, if God would use me to just randomly go and encounter someone else's children as an answer to their faithful praying, well, he's going to do that for me, for sure, for my children. He's going to set up strategic ambushes for my kids, wherever they are with God, whether they're walking close with him, whether they're walking far from him, he's going to do that for them. And there's one encounter that really, really brought this home to me. I think I've shared it before. Some of you may have heard it before. This was before Christmas in a busy shopping center with two young men promoting a charity stand. It was so busy. And the fact that I made eye contact with them and went over to them was already a shock to them, because most people are just like, you know, pass by the charity place. Tall, blonde guy from Brazil, smaller, darker man from Africa, originally Sierra Leone. And we got talking about this and that. They were the ones who asked me, why are you so shiny and smiley? They wanted to know, why are you like that? And that's when I told them I was a Jesus girl. And we got talking about Jesus and how he's in the Quran and various different things. It was a warm conversation. But then I offered to pray for them, and they were very, very happy to accept that. The shorter of the two is a Muslim. His name is Ali. And what he told me was, when he was a younger boy, his mum is a Christian, his dad is a Muslim. His mum would take him with her to church when he was a young boy. So he's had all that time growing up in the church. Here he is now, a young man in his probably late 20s, early 30s, about to go and marry his Muslim bride in a couple of weeks' time in Sierra Leone. And here he is meeting me and me offering to pray for him. And he's very happy about that. So I just prayed for him, and as Holy Spirit so often does, he was the one supplying the downloads. Things that this young man was afraid of, things about the future, about the wedding, about this, about that, things I couldn't possibly have known for myself. So he was just revealing those things. And at the end of it, he was so overwhelmed that God would do that for him, that he would send this random stranger to come and pray for him, to care for him, someone who doesn't know him from Adam, come and pray for him, and that the prayers were all those things that he was fearing in his life. But what interested me the most was that as I prayed for him, I saw two things. First of all, throughout the prayer, as I was praying, he was going, Amen, Amen, Amen. A Muslim, Amen, Amen. And the Holy Spirit was moving on him physically. He was swaying back and forth, under the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it just brought it back to me that we sang in those songs, love will always find me. Love will chase me. The love of God is always finding his treasures, always chasing after his treasures. And here was God coming to encounter this young man who was embracing a completely different faith system. And it just made me so encouraged that whatever our children, whether they're biological children, whether they're spiritual children, whether they're even other kinds of relatives that we care for, we yearn for, we're despairing over, we agonize over because of where they are with God. However they may be, whatever it looks like, God is chasing after them. His love is coming to find them. He's setting up strategic ambushes, unknown strangers, random happenings. He's setting them up. He's setting them up. His love is coming to find them. And that to me has been such a great encouragement to think that whatever the situation looks like, he is answering the faithful prayers of his people. So can we just now pause a minute, and I want to pray for us in line with that. For those that we yearn over, that maybe we agonize, sometimes we despair over them, because it looks like they are so, so far from God. But, you know, was it Julie last week told us about her brother? Do you remember? She told us last week about how her brother had been estranged from mom, and it had been years and years, and here he was just suddenly in that phone call. I'm meeting mom. I'm going back to church. So I just want to pray for us in line with that. Is that okay? Can I ask you, place your hand over your heart. You can put both hands on if you want. But let's just allow hope and encouragement and faith to rise up again through the God whose love comes hunting us down. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are a pursuing God. You're a relentlessly pursuing God. Your love will stop at nothing to encounter your lost ones, to encounter your straying, wandering ones. You are endlessly creative. You are strategic. You're intentional. You are placing in those that we love, you are placing people, situations, circumstances, random happenings, unknown strangers, even angels. You are placing them as strategic love ambushes in their life, to reveal to them the kindness of God, the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And I pray for every person in this room, every heart in this room that has grown weary, that has grown dejected, that has taken on disappointment, taken on even despair or hopelessness over someone that we love. And Father, I pray today that you would allow hope to rise up in these hearts, that you will just encourage and comfort them today, that every prayer that we have prayed, you are faithful to answer those prayers. You are faithful. You will not break your promise. And even now, you are moving in response to the prayers that we have prayed faithfully for those that we love. So let hope rise, Father. Let new, fresh confidence arise that you're on the case. You're at work. You never sleep. You're moving. You're pursuing. Your love is chasing down those that we love, and you will find them, and you will encounter them. Bless your name, Father. Bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for letting me pray that for you. Okay. I don't know if you can see this. Everyone see this? A bit far away, goes up, it goes down. We know what it is, right? Yep, it's the old-fashioned, pre-digital version of an egg timer. None of this setting a phone alarm or some ringing bell. This is an egg timer, and running down from top to bottom are tiny, tiny, tiny grains of sand. And in a 3-minute egg timer, which this is, they estimate, don't ask me who they are or how they possibly know this, but for the sake of today, they estimate that in just that tiny, less than an inch high, full of sand, there are about 50,000 grains of sand in that little chamber, 50,000. That's a lot of sand in a tiny, tiny place. And I'm telling you that because there's a verse in the Bible that talks about God's thoughts towards us in terms of sand. Andy, have you got that up on there? Here it is. Why don't we read it out together? Okay, ready? How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand.
What?
More in number than the sand. What is the sand? We don't know. Maybe he means all the sand that ever there is in the whole world. But just imagine it's just the sand in a children's sandpit. If that's 50,000 in that tiny thing, imagine how much there is in a children's sandpit. I mean, we're into the billions by now. And that's a small clue as to how many thoughts God is thinking towards you, towards me. Billions upon billions of thoughts towards us. He's always thinking about you. He's always thinking about his people. Always. And what are those thoughts like? What kind of thoughts are they? Many people think they are thoughts of displeasure, disappointment, frustration. But actually, there's a clue in, I think it's Philippians. We are encouraged how to think in that verse. Whatever is good, whatever is perfect, whatever is pure and holy and pleasing and excellent, think like that. So if we're encouraged to think like that, I think that's a pretty good clue that those are the kind of thoughts that God thinks, right? So that must mean that every single thought that God thinks towards us is good and perfect and pleasing and pure and lovely and excellent and praiseworthy. Forgot that one. The thoughts he thinks towards us are like that. They're good. They're really good. They're full of life. They're full of hope. They're full of joy. They're full of expectation of increase and of our destiny being full of hope. They are good. God's thoughts towards us are good. Now, I don't know about you, but to me it's a bit dizzy-making to think that he's got all these thoughts kind of whirring around him towards me. So I kind of need to break it down a bit. And I'm kind of happy with thinking, God, I would just like to know one of those thoughts. Just one is fine for now, you know. And I just want to encourage us that God loves us to catch his thoughts for us, one by one, catch them. And not just for us, but for other people. He wants us to catch his thoughts just one by one so that we can share them with someone else. Catch a God thought for somebody else. Just a simple God thought amongst the billions that he has towards a person. Just catch one. And it's a good, encouraging, pleasing, lovely thought. That's what he wants us to do. And that's what I feel I am there to do in the random places that he sends me. Just to catch a thought for somebody. How do you get these thoughts? How do they come? How? Although they're thoughts, they can come in lots of different formats, can't they? God thoughts come in, he's so creative, they can come in lots of different ways. We have physical senses, we hear, we see, we smell, we touch, we taste. And we have all of that in the spiritual way as well. So if I said to you, oh, do you hear that sound of a bicycle bell? Can you hear it? You can't hear it out here, but if you allow yourself, sure as sure you're hearing that bell in your being somewhere, right? You can hear the sound of that high-pitched bell of a bicycle. You're hearing it in your inner man. You're hearing it in that spiritual place inside of you. And so it is with seeing. We may not see things with our physical eyes, but on the inside, on the screen of our imagination, if I said to you, purple polar bear, you're seeing it, right? It's there, isn't it? You can see it in your on the screen of your imagination. There it is. And it's the same with smell as well. You know, We may not smell it with our physical nostrils, but we can train ourselves to smell the things of the Spirit, beautiful aromas that we can sense the presence of God and what he's doing in a room. It's beautiful. The demon stuff smells terrible, so don't worry about that. We can touch things. We can taste things. I've had times where I've been in someone's presence and I just suddenly get a taste of gingerbread. I can taste gingerbread. Why am I tasting gingerbread? One time I said that to someone and they said, "That is so weird." This very week I was baking with my children and we made gingerbread men. And it was something about, there was something in that word about her calling and what she wanted to go on and do. So these thoughts can come in so many different ways. Sometimes there's a spiritual part of us that just knows something. We don't know why or how we know it. We just know that we know it. We just do. I know it. And sometimes we can just sense something about someone. Like I was saying, I saw David. I just knew it. He's a leader. I saw it on him. Or sometimes we can just sense it about a person. I sense their struggling with this. I sense they're having a hard time. We just have a sense of something. So there are lots of different ways that God will drop a God thought to us. And it's so exciting to allow ourselves to become open to these different ways, because sometimes we can get comfortable with just one way. Oh yeah, I always hear God. I never see things. I just hear God. Well, that's cool. That's cool if you hear God. But be open to other ways that he wants to speak. He likes to change his language to us. He likes to keep it all mixed up so we don't get just complacent. Sometimes if you're someone that hears things, that's cool, but look out for what God might want to show you on that screen of your imagination. Does this make sense? You know, you know what I mean, don't you? So God just wants to drop these thoughts in us. Yes, they're for ourselves, but he also wants us to have them to share with other people, to encourage them, to build them up. It could be a timely word. I'm just going to give you a few examples, and then we are going to do something together. So this has happened to me on a couple of times. I've just been with a person, and on the inside of me, in my spirit person, on both occasions, I've heard the happy birthday tune. Na, 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 na. Yep. I've just heard it in their presence. And I've mentioned it to them and said, "Hey, do you have a birthday? Are you celebrating a birthday? Something to do with a birthday?" And one lady said to me, she said, no, it's not my birthday. Then she said, oh my goodness, I almost forgot. The very reason why I've come into this shopping center today is because it's my friend's birthday and I've come to buy her a card and a present. And she was worried about her friend. There were health issues there. Da, 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 da. So it was a really timely word. Now, if I brought her that word 3 weeks later, it would have kind of been a bit of hit or miss. Well, it was. I suppose it was my friend's birthday a few weeks ago. I don't know. But because it was that day, I've come in today to buy her a present and a card, and I'm worried about her. That was a timely word. But that was all because I just heard a little snatch of the happy birthday tune. That's happened on two occasions. The other one was a lady, a young girl, and that same day she said, "Oh my goodness, my colleagues and I were just planning what we were going to do for our colleague in the shop, because it's his birthday, and we were just talking about what birthday outing we could plan for him." So it was timely to think about that. That was just a little snatch of something I heard on the inside. Other times, as I've said about David and others, I've seen something over them, or I've seen something on the inside screen of my imagination. One time, there was something to do with the sense of smell, spiritually. So I was with a youngish girl. She was serving on a counter or someplace. And I just had this spiritual sense of fragrance. And I felt like God gave me a download about her, that she has a particularly acute sense of smell, that smell, fragrances, aromas are very important to her, more than the average person. And she said, "That is so funny that you told me that. She said, I do. I love fragrance. I love perfume. I collect different ones. And she said, I have a box at home, and in my box, I've got a handkerchief with the perfume that my grandma used to wear because she passed away quite recently. And I keep it in the box, and I take it out to remind myself of her. So, you know, that was all from just having a little whiff, a little something in the spirit, just a little sense of smell that led to that girl being encouraged that, wow, God saw that. God knows me. He cares that why that's so small, but he wants me. So all these things, they may seem really, really small, but they can be so powerful. Catching a God thought for somebody, hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, whatever it may be. Other times it's been more serious, more poignant. You know, there have been times when God's had me beside people in really, really difficult circumstances and just given me either a sense or a knowing. A lady that I was with, actually this was in America one time, and she was serving me at a counter, and I just had a sense. I said, you have sons, don't you? And she said, yes. And one of them, you are really concerned about him right now. And she said, do I know you? Who are you? I said, no, we've never met before. And I explained that I was a Christian and I was hearing this because God wanted to encourage her about this son. And she said, my son is in an ICU unit or their equivalent. Right now, he's got problems with his kidneys and he's really ill. And she was about to go and fly up. He was in another state. After that shift, she was going to go and fly up to go and visit her son who was so unwell. And here was God dropping a thought so this lady would know, I see you, I know you, I care about what you're going through, and I want to tell you that so that you know that I'm on your side. So that was a very dear lady in America. She was just bowled over that God would do that. Someone not even from her own country. Just life is messy, you know. I come across people, as I'm sure you do, all the time. Their family's in dysfunction, there's breakdown, there's divorce, there's all sorts of things going on. And God will just suddenly plant a thought, suddenly give a sense of something, and that person is opened up. How do you know that? Well, yes, I am going through that. And it arouses curiosity and then comes in with comfort. God knows that. He cares that I'm going through that. He sees that. How do you know that? And so on. And you can just go and explain. Just that there's just too many of them to give you the stories now. But people, there was one beautiful, beautiful gentleman who I tussled with this word. It was one of those kind of make or break. It was either I give this and it's right and it will help him, or I give it and it's wrong and he could be really offended. It was one of those, and it was well, I didn't have it before. I do have it now, so I'm just going to go for it. And the word was about how there was someone in his life in a very close relationship to him, but who'd recently passed away. And this gentleman who it was for, he hadn't sorted things out before the person passed. And he felt uneasy in his heart. He wasn't at rest because things hadn't been sorted out in the relationship before he passed. And that God was saying, I want to release you from the pain and the burden of that you're carrying. And as soon as I gave him the word, he said, oh my goodness, that's my father. And he began to unravel the story to me about the relationship with his father. He was one of five children. He wasn't wanted. They didn't want more children after three children, but he'd come along. And it was a sad story. Here was this man, actually very successful now, but with carrying this pain in his heart that things hadn't been solved before his father went. And here was God just saying, I want you to be released of that now. It's time to give that up to me. And it was very precious how that conversation ended up. So I could tell you lots and lots of stories, and that's fine. They're all glory to God. They're things that God thoughts he's dropped in. I don't take any credit for them. They're all his. But you have God thoughts too. God wants you to have thoughts for yourself and for others. And I would like to spend a little bit of time now encouraging you to get God thoughts and to share them with someone.